And it's interesting because all Buddhist traditions have accepted this pretty much without question until recently.
That is because we've evolved.
Not necessarily, no. I think it's because culture, no, not necessarily either. I think it's because culture has changed. The Dharma has come to the West, and the West has a different set of assumptions. It's got a whole different way of seeing things, particularly in a kind of post-God era when scientific rationalist materialism is the predominant cultural viewpoint of our societies. So it's being questioned in some Western circles, the traditional Buddhist teaching on karma and rebirth. And personally, I think it's a good thing that things are questioned. You need to question it. We need to question it. Everything is up for grabs. The Buddha's not saying, just believe this because I tell you. He's saying, you may not understand this fully now, but there is a path that leads to the point where you will. Can you verify that? One of my favourite speakers that I mentioned before is, again, the sadly departed Christopher Hitchens, one of the great new atheists. And I saw a fantastic interview, I'll post this to the website, that you can watch a panel discussion with him and a couple of rabbis and an American neuroscientist called Sam Harris, who's also an atheist, a very kind of thoughtful atheist. And Sam Harris said something that really stopped me when I was watching this, where they kind of had a go at theistic religion, as they often do. And quite often Buddhism gets off lightly, as it were, because the people don't quite know what to do with it, because it's sort of atheist in a way. But actually, Sam Harris decided to take on the traditional view of Buddhist rebirth. I'm not sure whether he understands it, actually, or not. There wasn't enough information in the video for me to get a sense of that. It maybe he does, it maybe he doesn't. But it was very interesting that he kind of went after karma and rebirth. And he didn't say it's rubbish. He's a scientist, he's a neuroscientist, but he didn't say it's rubbish. He said, it's not that as a scientist I'm closed to there being a basis of some kind for consciousness that is not organic. But I haven't seen any evidence of it so far.
Not organic.
Not organic. Yeah. So it's not brain-based. So he's saying, it's not that I'm closed as a scientist to the fact that there may be a basis for consciousness of some kind that's not just to do with the brain. But I haven't seen it so far. And then he went on to say, what I have seen is how quickly consciousness is diminished when you damage even a small part of the brain. And he said, I find it difficult just to accept that when the brain is completely damaged at death, consciousness persists. This is a very, very valid line of questioning, at least in as far as it goes. Of course, the line of questioning has some assumptions in it. And although I don't know exactly what Sam Harris meant, it wouldn't be surprising if part of what he means when he says, I don't see a basis for the continuous of consciousness, it may be that he's thinking, my consciousness. And this is perhaps the most crucial bit. If you zone out to the rest of the talk, that's okay, but this is the crucial bit. The Buddha, when he's positing all of this, this process, gigantic cosmic process of arising and passing away, almost the whole universe breathing, as it were, and giving rise to consciousness and life, and then those passing away, when he posits that that continues on through death, he's not saying you as a fixed being. In a way, his view of you as a live being is that you don't exist in the way you think you do. You're a bunch of processes, as Sangha actually says, tied loosely together with a name and an address. You're a bunch of processes. And if you could really see yourself and live in that way, it wouldn't diminish you. It wouldn't stop you having a provisional, useful sense of who you are, but it would fundamentally transform the way you relate to other people and the world. And the Buddha's saying, if that applies in life, that lack of you-ness in you, it also applies at the other end. As that process continues in some way, it's not you that we're talking about. Now, that gives rise to as many questions as it might seek to answer. And I think this is very clever of the Buddha. He keeps the whole thing as a question. He doesn't do what some traditions do and say, this is the answer. He just says, keep looking at this, keep looking at this, keep looking at this.